Thank you, Tim. You know, Ken, I'm 58 years old, and the thought of having a baby... It's because I'm dealing with kids all day long, every day. It's too much. Too much. Oh, praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. It's, you know, it's always a great opportunity to come together and share, and, you know, once a month or two, I'm up here with you, and getting to share the Word of God, and I'm going to kind of follow along with what Tim's been talking about, the communion of the Holy Spirit, and specifically how us as witnesses, and we'll look at a scripture here in a moment that Tim referenced last week, how the Holy Spirit helps us to be witnesses in sharing our faith, and of course, you know, I have to think about who are we witnessing to, and what are we sharing? Okay, so we'll talk about some of these things, and but just as you know, as a start, as we were talking about Al and the stuffed animals with giving them to the kids and so forth, and just got to thinking about the number of people that we have, and I don't necessarily have to say influence with, but that we have contact with, that our witness and testimony speaks to, whether it's just from being observed or having a conversation or having a pretty close relationship with them. The number is probably bigger than we think. Your level of influence and witness in this world is greater, especially with the help of the Holy Spirit and His guidance, than we may think. We have, and I'm reminded of this constantly in my own life, and you know, I'm a teacher at school, if you don't know, and coach, and we have on our basketball team, I help with the high school basketball team, and we have 12 boys on our team, and just this season, we had one boy whose older brother passed away, and then just 2 days ago, yesterday, finding out that one of our boys' father has just been diagnosed with a stage 4. Cancer. And so, you know, sometimes I think, oh, you know, I'm out here throwing balls or shooting basketballs with them, and your level, you wonder, you know, to what extent are they hearing anything I might say or see in my life? And you're surprised in a pleasant way sometimes when these kind of things come around, how they'll search you out and they'll want to hear what you have to say. Or in many cases, just appreciate that you are a man in their life. We had, and this isn't, I'm sorry, forgive me, this isn't anything in the notes, but it's, we had our senior night, which you have every year, usually your last home game, you have a senior night, and the seniors, after the JV game, they get down at the other end of the gym, and they walk through kind of a tunnel of the JV players and so forth with their parents. And it's always very eye-opening for me to see our boys come down and what that group looks like, you know, what their family looks like. And this particular year, the superintendent was there off to the side, and he says, let's get started with this, let's get going. I said, yeah, we would, but we've got two boys, and there were only five seniors. There's two boys whose dads aren't here, and they don't have anybody to walk with. And so we're struggling, you know, trying to text the father, you know, the crowd's there waiting, like, what's going on, what's going to happen? And one of the fathers made it, and the other one was late. So we put the kid at the back of the line, hoping that the father might make it. And it was the father who we find out a week later is diagnosed with cancer, and he was sick that night. And so the world we live in struggles. We go through life and we have our issues and our problems, and as believers, we address them with a God that loves us and cares for us and intervenes in our life. And I think about other people that we are witnesses to that don't have that, and just what their mentality is and how they look at life. You know, there's many a time when we've done, you know, just I think about basketball, where the kids are at the foul line, and we're just kind of spread around the gym shooting foul shots, and I'll kind of wander around and ask questions and just try to get personal with them. You know, where are you going to be a year from now? basketball tends to be a sport that's in nature kind of an urban sport. You get that kind of a kid. And with the demographics of Albion, that happens as well. And so you get a handful of our 12 kids that a year from now, I really don't know what they're going to do. They're not obvious college-bound kids. They may not have the best grades. Their family structure might not be very solid. And you wonder where you're going to be. And, you know, so you approach those questions with them kind of carefully because you don't want to, you know, like act like you're intruding. But what are you going to do? How are we going to get to the next step? Do not let this time right now in your life be the highlight of your life. Because it could very well be for some of these kids. You know, a successful season, we're going to go on and do well the next couple of weeks. And that's like their life as right now. And I'm afraid for some that that's going to be it. A year from now, people are not going to be in the stands cheering for you. Where are you going to be? What are you going to do? How are you going to earn a living? Those kind of things. So all that to say, we have a lot of folks to witness to. There is an audience for sure, whether we are seeking them out or not. And so as Tim's been sharing about the Holy Spirit, it's been, you know, just thinking about those things in my own life, and it's going to be the same for you, just the level of need we have for the working of the Holy Spirit in our life, in whatever way it is. You know, Tim's been talking a lot about a number of aspects of the Holy Spirit, from the indwelling to the baptism, you know, to the fruit of the Spirit, to the gifts of the Spirit, and how all of these things are complementary and speak to the Lord himself. Right? All of it speaks to him. And our audience is those around us. And so we're going to address some of these things as it relates to how we live our life and how the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is evident in its place in glorifying God first as we live it out amongst men, loving God, loving our neighbor. And so I'm going to ask you, I'm going to turn to Matthew 28, and I'm going to ask you to go to Acts 1:8. And Tim started early in the service last week with Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But just some consistency here. At the end of the Gospels, we see the Great Commission. Matthew 28 and 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them." Okay? Making disciples of the nations. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, following this, the beginning of the church, again, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we see a common theme here, that we are given the Holy Spirit, the power for service, to live before men, to do those things that aside from that would be impossible. Jesus commands to love your enemy, to judge not, to give thanks in all things. Those are impossible for me anyways to do apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we are witnesses, his witnesses. And it's interesting, in the King James, it doesn't say, "my witnesses too." It says, "witnesses unto me in Judea." And there's a little different take there. In other words, the focus is always him, not just the people that we are reaching or witnessing and testifying to. If I did see slight, just a slight thing, not just my witnesses going here, you're my guys going out, but you are witnessing to me when you witness and testify of my name to others in this world, okay? And so I think there's prioritizing of what we're doing here, because just being kind to people and just telling people about Christ is not necessarily ultimately the goal, right? It's to bring honor and glory to him. Let's pray. Father, we just start by thanking you for your great mercy and kindness to us. And that is the greatest voice that we can have is just testifying of our own experience with you. That's what we know. And so, Lord, we pray that your voice would be real to us today, not just this morning, tonight, but also in our life, that we can share those sweet words that you share with us, that others can feel the same things we feel in our relationship with you. Let it be so, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So just a few points here this morning about being witnesses, testifiers of what we have seen and heard, not just like the disciples that walked with Christ, but us today in this dispensation as we walk with the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Point one, and Tim has made this point as well. He's used his scripture from John chapter 15, which is this, that Christ is the purpose. He is the one that we are testifying of. It says, when the helper comes, when the paraclete, when the comforter comes, he will what? Bear witness of me, Jesus said. Jesus is the core of the issue here. It is all for him and by him and through him. The Holy Spirit speaks of him. And the Gospels give us many examples of this, and I'll just the priority of glorifying God foremost in our life as in the way that we live our life. And I'll just give you a couple of well-known ones. We have here the story at Simon the leper's home. I just love this. Jesus going into homes, and just try to put yourself in these scenarios. Here's Simon the leper, who at this point of the story has been healed, I'm assuming. Here's Simon the leper. We're at his home. Jesus is there, and it says this woman, it just says a woman in Matthew. We can maybe try to figure out who that is from some of the other gospel accounts. But in this account in Matthew, it just says a woman takes the alabaster jar of costly perfume and pours it on his head. Now, we could just sit and think about that for a minute, what that means. Of course, it was preparing, anointing him for his burial. For his death. And the symbolism that it is strong. Pours it on his head. And let's think about the disciples now. What's the scripture say about the disciples? When they see this pretty significant event that Jesus later on says, everybody's going to know what this woman did here today. They will know. And here we are 2,000 years later talking about this woman who probably was not much in the world's eyes, pouring this costly perfume on the Lord's head. I don't think she was thinking 2,000 years from now, there's going to be things written about me or some guy's going to be standing in front of a church talking about me. I don't think so. What was the disciples' reaction? In my version, in the NAS, it says they were not just upset, they were indignant. That's a pretty strong word. Indignant with it. How dare you, lady, do that? Why? Because they were thinking in the natural, in a good way, right? If we could have just sold this, given the money to the poor, a witness to the needy. Sounds logical, right? Yeah, sounds good. Theories class in college, that'll work. In the kingdom of God, that wasn't going to work. And so Jesus kind of rebukes them. He says, the poor you will always have with you. And he was right. But he said, there's something greater here with you right now. It's him. And so this is an example of prioritizing Christ, God, above the needs. The needs, taking care of that, that's going to happen. But it comes from our love here, right? The vertical. Another example, an obvious one, is Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. Martha's busy dealing with the preparations, taking care of things, doing a good thing, right? I don't think if any of us were there, we'd have been upset with her. Would we? Would we be upset with her for getting things ready, right? That's Patty at our house. She's doing because I'm not, right? Not necessarily because she wants to, because I'm not. That's my issue. It says that Martha was distracted with the preparations. Distracted means there was something else she should have been focused on. And that was the person of Christ again. There. And I'll read it. Martha, Martha, the Lord replied. You are worried and upset about many things. Now just think about your own life. Is this you? Because it's me. And there are a lot of dumb things that I worry about. I lay in bed at night. And you're going to say, I lay in bed at night wondering why Liam Ward would make that pass in that situation with 5 seconds left in the quarter. Why would he do that when we're winning by 30 points? And that's what I'm thinking about, laying in bed at night, right? Because I've allowed that to become a distraction to me. Now, I don't mean to pick on Liam Ward. If you know Liam Ward, he's a great kid and he's going to do well. Well, in life, it's just yesterday that got me. See, it's bothering me even now that I'm thinking about that. Poor Liam. He's the least of our problems on the team. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is necessary. And Mary, like the woman with the alabaster jar of perfume, has chosen the good portion. Well, that portion was Christ himself, right? And it will not be taken away from her. Do you see the lasting eternal value of our focus upon him? When we glorify him, it is long term. And the furthest extent you're going to, it's eternally blessed when we look to him and allow the Holy Spirit to show us how to give him honor in the way that we live with men. We'll get to a passage related to that. Second point, a witness or a testimony is more than deeds or words. It's not just what we say or what we do. And we can go to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and there's some obvious examples here. If I give away all my possessions, if I surrender my body to be burned, if I have not love, I gain a little bit, I gain nothing. Now that rubs us a little bit the wrong way, right? Have you ever done anything, it's just not out of the right heart behind? You know, I'm always telling my students, you know, they're middle school. So they are where they are in their head as a middle schooler. And I just try to tell them, you know, do the right thing. I don't have to even tell you, you know, don't run in the halls or don't be loud or don't put your foot on Sally's desk in front of you. Just do the right thing. What seems right to you? And most kids can figure that out. Okay? But just doing the right thing. And I've corrected many a student, take your foot off, you know, Julie's desk, and they'll do it. But I know they're not happy. Because they'd rather slouch and put their feet up on Julie's desk, right? They're not happy with me. And so when I see that, it doesn't please me, right? The one that wants them to behave appropriately. And it's no different with the Lord with us. We may do the right thing. You even being here today, sitting in these chairs, may be an act of, I don't really want to go. I'll go because it's the right thing to do. And I'll give you kudos for that. But at the same time, it should be our joy to come together and give our love and honor to him, right? And so that we're all a work in progress in these things. John Piper said this in terms of love and our deeds and so forth and their value. He said, love is the overflow of joy in God, which gladly, gladly meets the needs of others. It's just not my duty or requirement or fulfilling of the law. It's an outpouring of my love and reflection that he has for me that I can gladly pour out. The Lord has decided that the love I put into you, you can give back to me, but I've chosen for you to express it in this world around you, whether it's with a basketball player whose dad's you know, the diagnosis, he's going to die soon, or with a student or a spouse, whatever the case may be, we have those opportunities. Let's move on. Christ's atonement and the Holy Spirit's indwelling is what enables us, and we kind of reference this, to do anything. You know, I was thinking of, I think it's in Acts chapter 13, where Saul and Barnabas said they prayed, and you know, they sought the Holy Spirit, and being moved by the Holy Ghost, they waited until they felt like the Lord, through the Holy Ghost in this situation, spoke to them, and then it says, comma, they departed. They went out. They did. They left. They went on their journey. For us, that journey, we could say in this case, is our life before men, right? As we live our life, we pray, we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance, and he enables us through his atonement, through Christ's blood, and the Holy Spirit speaking to us and testifying of Christ himself, how to live, how to depart, and how to go out, what to say, what attitude he wants inside of us, the character that he demands, commands for us, love, joy, peace, patience, all those things, Tim went through them, the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's really sometimes more of a challenge for us than the working of miracles or discerning of spirits and those kind of things, right? Love your enemy. How about that guy or gal at work that just kind of gets you? We've all got them. I know you do. Again, our job is to be a witness. The results are the Lord's, okay? There's another point. The results of our testimony and witness is the Lord's business. The fruit he chooses to bring to it is his. I don't have to manufacture or put a notch on my belt for every person I lead to the Lord or think that I've testified to. There I go. Good job, Tim. Nice job. It's not it. The results are his. In Daniel chapter 3, we have this well-known story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego telling King Nebuchadnezzar, you know what? We don't need to defend ourselves to you. You may be putting us in this furnace. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, Scripture says, the God we serve is able to deliver us. You know it's coming. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. So they're pretty confident. Their expectation was pretty high, right? But even if he doesn't. Now that kind of goes against the kingdom of the earth mentality, right? Well, you said you're going to do it, but even if he doesn't, we want you to know something, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. In other words, our Lord is still our Lord, regardless of what we see with our eyes. And that's tough for us to swallow. Do we pray for life and good things? We're praying over families, praying for healings, praying for situations to change. Yeah, we believe that, right? We pray for those things. But somehow God is bigger than us. It's not hard to imagine that. And he sees the beginning from the end, and not just the beginning and the end of my little 80-year life, but the beginning of history and the end of history and how we in this generation factor into that, how Harvest Christian Fellowship factors into the church as a whole here in our time and long after we're gone, should he tarry, right? He sees the bigger picture, and so we can trust the results to him. Samson. When we were talking about Saul and Barnabas, I was thinking about Samson. You know, when God sends us out to be witnesses to testify. During the game yesterday, I mentioned we were way ahead early and kind of daydreaming on the bench, and I shouldn't be doing that. Should be worrying about Liam. And so the Samson came into my mind. Samson, long-haired guy, strong guy from the Bible. And I thought, why am I... Where's this coming from? Samson. There wasn't anybody with long hair on the court or anything. And it took me back, you know, to these passages of how we're able to do the things that we do and what gives us the power for this service. Again, it's the Holy Spirit. And it reminded me, and the Lord, it's like the Lord was saying, think of Samson's example. How we need the Holy Spirit in this service. in this world, to be good testimony. It wasn't Samson's hair that made him strong. It was the God who was over his life that used his hair for whatever reason as a symbol of something, okay? Let's not get focused on the things here or my position or my title or my white skin or my U.S. citizenship or my political party affiliation. That has nothing to do with God's ability to move and act, right? And this is, again, just another reminder of how we need the Holy Spirit. You know, think of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament would kind of pop down and hit in spots and move and act. And here we have the Holy Spirit with us 24/7, all day, every day. And we look at these stories in the Old Testament and think, wow, that's pretty amazing. And they look at us in the future, if they could, say, wow, wouldn't it be awesome to live in their time? They have the Holy Spirit with them consistently. Praise the Lord, we do. Let me kind of get to the end here. Luke chapter 4 and 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? This is Jesus speaking of himself from a prophecy from Isaiah. "Because he has anointed me," anointed us, again in our day, with the Holy Spirit, "to preach the gospel to the poor." And I could go on with the list there of what he calls us to do. Heal the brokenhearted, etc. Proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. You and I can't do that on our own. And this, again, this is just reinforcing all the things Tim has been sharing with us. The indwelling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts, the fruit, all of that is God, I think the term Tim uses, God-given confidence that we have to go out and live our life before men. Not worrying about what the results are, but trusting him that he knows how best to do it. I just want to make one reference. So we think about being a testimony in this world. A few weeks back, it was the March for Life down in Washington. And, you know, sometimes there's the tangible people right in front of us that we're witnesses to. And then there are other times where you're fighting and battling in the spiritual realm for a cause, or in this case, the unborn. And there are, you know, a few hundred thousand people there in D.C. And it's an interesting mix of people, and I won't get into all that. Probably some with good motives, some not so good motives. But one of the things I learned there was that even though abortions in our country have been dropping in number, and we get excited about that, that's a good thing, just the actual number, one concern, and this came, believe it or not, from the Guttmacher Institute, which is far from pro-life. They give statistics from the opposite side, the woman's right to choose, okay? And so it's probably understated in that sense. And that there, in our day, far more do-it-yourself abortions than there ever were before. And you're saying, what? People are doing that, you know, to themselves. It's done through medication. And so they said in the last, you know, that's like the day after pill, those kind of things. And so this is the Guttmacher Institute going, I think the last results, the last data was 2017. So it's probably worse now. That at least a third of abortions in our country are done this way, through a woman just medicating and taking the life of that conceived infant, okay, the day after, the week after, whatever the case may be. And so the numbers get very skewed now because you just don't know. And so in reality, there could be far more abortions in our country than there were in the past. As they're done surgically, it's lower. Are you with me? And so, who are we testifying to? Who do we battle for? It's not just the people in our life. We are battling in prayer and those things, and that's where we really need the Holy Ghost to help us. How do I fight, Lord? Give me discernment, whether it's into a person's life or into issues like this in our country, where we have a grave problem when we are murdering, killing our own babies, right? And that's a big thing. That's a church thing we've got to come together and deal with. finish with this. Teacher walks into my room a couple weeks ago. And for whatever reason, my room tends to be a place where teachers gather. And it was just her and I. She stands, and she's funny. She's Catholic, and she's very proper, very prim and proper. So when we're alone in the room, my desk from the door is in the far opposite corner. So I'm usually at my desk doing some plans. And she'll come in and stand at the doorway and go no farther than 4 feet inside the door. It's just her, okay? Good Catholic girl. And she calls me Mr. Archer. So she said, Mr. Archer, got a bit of a problem. I thought, okay. I don't know if I want to hear this or not. You know, I'm just being honest with you. And she says, I think there's another teacher. She's a math teacher. There's another teacher who I think is, and she said, quote, unquote, borrowing my lesson plans and using them with her students. And I thought, oh, brother, you know, first thought was, I don't want to get in the middle. I don't want to get in the middle. And I know who she's talking about. She didn't have to name the name. I knew immediately who it was. Another grade. And I said, my first thought was, it went back to Paul, I think, in Philippians, where regardless of why Christ is preached, at least he's being preached. So my first comment to her was, well, do you have good lesson plans? Are they good ones? And she said, yeah, they're good lessons. I said, well, I guess in the big picture, the students are benefiting then, right? And she said, yeah, and here's where I'm going with this. And she just kind of paused for a minute, and I didn't want to push it with her, you know. I've got my issues, too. Nobody's trying to borrow my lesson plans. Let's put it that way. And she kind of put her head down, and she looked up, and she said, you know, Mr. Archer, maybe this is a pride issue for me. And I just, you know, sometimes you just let it sit, let them sort it out themselves. Don't try to say, yeah, absolutely, you got a pride problem, or no, it's her problem. You know, let things kind of settle how they're going to settle. And she said, you know, I think you're right. The kids are getting good lessons. She's a good teacher. She's borrowed some. I've seen the kids bring her their papers in. It's my papers. The same thing I do. And I feel like I'm working and she's not. And she says, you know what? That's not the issue here, is it? And again, I just sat there. Just this is probably a good pastor, right? Learn how to listen. And she said, pride. Yeah, she said, you know, maybe that's something I need to work on and so forth. And because she was ready to go to the principal, the whole thing, confront me. Anyway, I don't know if she ever did. But all that to say this, pride in our lives probably does more to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit and his work in us than anything, because it points inward instead of outward. Let's pray together. Father, just reading this morning just pops into my head, Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's your Holy Spirit. It comforts us. It guides us. It's our paraclete. It is with us. You walk with us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you equip us for the great work to be witnesses of the greatest thing our minds could ever imagine, Jesus Christ and his plan for mankind. Father, we pray that you would help us to draw upon you more. And I just think about tonight and what we can do just to bend our knee before you and acknowledge that. And secondly, Lord, as we're witnesses, to be able to see that there are people looking at us. They're listening to us. Lord, that our words would be pure and our motives right as we give ourselves to you in the days that you give us on this earth. Help us, Lord, to do it right in conjunction with the enabling of your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, everyone. Hope to see you tonight, 6 o'clock, right back here. God bless.